You're listening to STR, your online resource for independent trades and graphic novels, and today we are reviewing Last Days of American Crime, number 2 of 3, by Rick Remender and Greg Tocchini. And so this picks up where the last one left off, and it's just a... So the basic overall story is that the government is going to send out a broadcast that is going to stop humans' inhibitions to do evil, wrong.
It's a little vague. Commit crime, but yeah.
And at the same time, they're also switching over from hard currency to electronic currency. Right. And so the protagonist has... Graham has put together a heist where they're going to steal one of the machines that creates the electronic money in whatever way that is, and they're going to be able to then basically print their money, their own money after that. So,
because they're going to go to Canada basically with this, because the signal is only going to reach the American borders.
So the last one left off where the team had kind of met together. They explained each other's, or they, we knew that what their roles were going to be, and then it left on kind of a cliffhanger where we find out that she's working with a cop.
Yeah, seems like she's got a side deal going with the police here.
Yeah, so we pick up on the next one, and this one, not much happens with the heist, the actual heist going on. Kevin goes and is picking up a piece of equipment that they need for the heist. And while he's gone,
Graham goes undercover.
Yeah.
At the facility
that they're going to steal from. Meanwhile, Shelby is back at the hotel, and the guy that Graham tries to kill in the first book comes back and grabs her, because they had staked out the hotel and knew where Graham was.
Well, actually, they end up attacking Graham and beating him and using her, basically using him to come back to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. This adds in, basically, this issue adds in the secondary level of stress that the story needs. The first layer of stress being that it all has to take place in this time frame, compressed time frame.
Yep.
This one adds in now the chase group. Who is it that is going to be tracking them and chasing them and trying to interfere with them?
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta tell you, the opening scene in this book, basically introduces us to who it is that is going to be, sort of really hunting them down. And it is a Hispanic gang. Not street gang. We're talking organized crime type. Yeah. And in this opening scene, the leader of this gang has a... basically the leader of a black gang, again, organized crime gang, in his house, and is basically pushing him for information. And at first I thought the scene was a little over the top, like the first time I read it, because basically what you've got is you have the, all these armed guys standing around, and then you have the head of the Hispanic gang sort of pacing back and forth. You have the head of the black gang sitting on the couch, and next to him is this naked woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what the hell? I mean, this is, gratuitous. I mean, really gratuitous nudity. Yeah. And the leader of the Hispanic gang proceeds to beat her to a pulp in front of this black gang leader, and basically, she's begging the black gang leader to make him stop because they have a relationship. And it's not quite sure what, but you know, the Hispanic guy keeps going over and over about, this is your woman, man. You know, yeah. If there's any sense of humanity in you, you're not going to let me do this. As he continues to just beat the pulp out of her. Finally, he drags her by the hair over to the balcony, leans her out the window, and shoots her in the back of the head. And like I said, first time I read this, I thought, damn, this is the most gratuitous, over-the-top thing ever. And then I went, you know what? It's not. This is the most brutal, cold-hearted, absolutely I am in complete control and power play that anybody could make.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only am I humiliating you, but I am going to basically do whatever I want to your woman right here in front of you and make you not be able to say or do anything about it. I mean, that was the ultimate power play. And it sets up this gang leader to be a real, real formidable opponent for our little trio.
Yep.
Because if someone is willing to do that, you know, to be that ruthless, that cold-blooded, that hands-on, I mean, he doesn't have his men.
Well, what it really does is that it draws you a little closer to the protagonist, because yeah. In the first book, the protagonist is not portrayed in a pleasant light.
Right.
He is a really ugly human being.
Right.
What this really does is it sets a counterpoint to our protagonist, and all of a sudden you're like, you know what?
He's not so bad. If I have to choose
between these two guys, you know, I'm going to root for this guy.
Right.
And that's what Rick Remender really does a great job in this piece, because that's what I felt lacking in the first one, is I was like, man, I don't know that I want to root for this guy. You know,
right.
He was such a hard person.
Mm-hmm.
And he really set a great counterpoint to draw you closer to the protagonist and go, you know what? I want this guy to get that son of a bitch.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, in the first one, it was kind of like, yeah, he's a hardened criminal and he's pulling off this heist. But at the same time, this is the guy that poured gasoline on a guy who's
bound,
laying in a bathtub, pours it on him, lights it, and walks out. That's not the guy that I have an easy time rooting for.
Yeah.
But
that's what Rick Remender does a really great job of, because if you look at Keith Houston as a character in Fear Agent, he's not a great person either,
right.
But you root for him all the way along.
Right.
And so that's what really fascinates me about Remender's writing, is that he tends to take these characters that you would not normally root for and be able to twist them and twist their surroundings in a way to where you're pulling for them.
Right. And, you know, that goes for basically all the characters, too. I mean, I didn't really like Kevin in the last book either. Kevin is the, he's the safecracker. And he goes off to get some sort of, you know, fancy schmancy
electronic device, safe
cracking tool. Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't
and
matter.
No, it just, yeah. And we meet his family, who is about as fucked up as you can get.
Yep.
And, you know, you find out there's no love lost between him and his family. And, I mean, talk about a situation that just goes completely south there, too. But, again, I walked out of that situation going, he's not too bad, you know? I mean...
Yeah, even Shelby in the first one, you're like, man, that chick is... There's, you know,
yeah.
She's twisted. There's something right. wrong with her. And you come out in this one liking her more and siding with her. And so that's what this book was really about, is drawing right. the reader closer to this team and really tightening this team and getting the reader behind the team and ready to go, you know what, I want these guys to succeed.
My only problem that I had with the character Shelby in this book was that she ended up being the typical girl part. She was the damsel in distress.
Yep.
She was the one who was held hostage.
She's so powerful in the
yeah.
first section.
In control.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have Graham come and save her, I felt was a little cheap. I mean, Remender needed that beat. I mean, he really did. He needed that moment to draw them together and to make them kind of trust each other a little bit more.
And really to pull the reader closer to Graham as well.
Right.
Because he's the person that's saving her from this horrible person. It really sets Graham against this you know, antagonist,
mm-hmm.
and draws him to closer to Shelby and the reader closer to both. But I know exactly what you're saying. I wish that there was some other device that he could have used to do that, because
to build that trust. Because I mean, she's too cool of a character to have all of a sudden have to literally be carried out in his arms, apologizing to him for what she's done to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I felt that was, I don't know, that really weakened her. And like I said, I recognize that that we needed it, or that trust building, but there's got to be another way.
Yeah.
And so
this book leaves on an even bigger cliffhanger than before, which I'm not even going to mention, because I really hope people go out and buy this book and support this book. And we heard from Rick that he's been involved in the movie making process of this. Mm-hmm. And so after seeing the kind of car chase scene in this, I totally saw that cinematic. Right. And I hope that this movie turns out right because if it has a real good chance to be something cool.
The car chase scene actually reminded me a little bit of Sin City in the sense where this book has been more or less realistic. You know, you don't have people jumping across roofs. You don't have people, you know, punching through walls. Things like that. It's been more or less realistic. With the car chase, the art gets a little bit looser. People take on slightly exaggerated proportions. And like I said, it kind of reminded me of some of the scenes of the car chases in the comic Sin City.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. I mean, like I said, I saw it like you did, that whole very cinematic approach to it. And yeah, that's a car chase that I can get behind in a movie.
I am never a big fan of comics going to movies. I enjoy comics in their natural form, and I don't know that I think that they translate very well into a movie form. But I could really see this just visually popping off the screen if it's done well. So I actually kind of look forward to that.
Wow. You know, I come back to the art, though. Last time I said with Ticini's art, I felt that was the weak part of this team. I didn't think the writing was the weak part. I thought the art was the weak part. And I come back to that again this time. Even though saying that, you know, the chase scene was cool, I come and that scene at the start was really incredibly brutal and powerful. The reason I come back to the art being my issue is in the back of this issue, there are several pages of script. And talking about the script, and then it shows some early panel layouts and things like that. In the script, it says that the Hispanic gangster, he pours himself a rag full of ether and inhales it deeply. And that scene is in the story, in that really brutal scene. And in the script, it says it's clear, the bottle is clearly marked ether. Mm-hmm. In the page, it doesn't come out. And so you have this kind of confusing panel where this guy's holding a rag up to his nose, and you're not sure if he's sneezing, if there's just a stench.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
Right, and so by having the script in the back, it's clear that this was a point that Remender was making, or this was an element that he wanted included, and it didn't come through. And like I said, I felt the art, you know, last time I mentioned that the art was really stylized. And now I'm looking at it going, you know, and there's some confusing parts. And I wonder if Ticini's just not putting everything in there. Because it's that kind of thing where, you know, this doesn't have the, you know, the thought bubbles. And this doesn't have the, you know, narrative blocks or anything like that. Where we really have to rely on the art to tell the story. And that's, again, it's just where I feel like it's not quite up to par with Remender's writing.
I do agree that scene fails, but there's a really great scene in the back where she's in the car and the guy's talking about what he's going to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically that they're going to rape her a bunch. and you just see this pained look on her face, and then you see her kind of open her eyes, and then she's smiling, and it's the end of the page. And that pacing was really well done, because the next page you open it up, and it's basically because she sees Graham and she's about ready to duck, and he's got like a gun pointed at the car. And I think that that art really hits a great beat for the story.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, I have to wonder, is that Remender pacing it that way? I mean,
well, sure it is, but the art does it well.
Yeah.
The art could have boffed that job, even mm-hmm. if Remender, and I'm sure Remender wrote that into a script, that it was supposed to be that way. But the art hits the beat that it's supposed to, and I think it does it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the facial expressions are good in this. Like I said, I didn't ever have a question as to, you know, what somebody was feeling or thinking. It's those little details that, you know, background or set pieces that just kind of, I don't know, make it not quite all there for me. You know, if the art was more like what we have on the covers, you know, I think that would be absolutely amazing, which, you know, it seems to be the Radical House style. Everything, or so much of what Radical puts out, is digitally painted. I was a little surprised that this wasn't. But, you know, that might have been the artistic choice. I mean, Remender might have taken a look at it and said, this is what I want for it. And, you know, he's a big enough name that, you know, I'm sure he probably got what he was looking for with it.
Sure.
So, you know, that being said, man, I can't wait for volume 3, or, you know, issue 3 to come out. I can't wait to see how this ends up.
And I think this is going to be a great collected edition as mm-hmm. well. Like, I think it'll probably actually read a little better in collected form mm-hmm. even than in single issues.
I'm just a little worried because, I mean, they're what, 48 pages long, and, you know, like you said when we started this, the heist did not progress in this issue, and we have a huge cliffhanger that we have to resolve, which is going to eat up a solid number of pages. I wonder, you know, is the end going to be satisfying? Are we going to, or is this heist going to almost become secondary to its own book?
Well, it could be a problem, but I mean, really, that's all speculative. I mean,
yeah. I know, we got one issue to go.
But, yeah.
But yeah, this stays on my must-buy list.
For sure.
You know, last day stays on the must-buy list, stays on the, you know, buy on site and tell your friends about. And, you know, I think it has a core for a good movie behind it. I really do, especially if Remender is, you know, part of the script writing. And
it just depends on the team. I mean, a director could just completely ruin this movie too. I mean, it really just depends on the team. I think that it has a great seed for it, though. Right. All right, you've been listening to STR, your online resource for independent trades and graphic novels.